In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor of Brookside Baptist Church. I am thrilled that you have taken the time out of your busy day to study God's Word. This is how we grow. We must set aside time to listen, to understand, and then apply God's Word. Otherwise, how are we going to grow? And if you're not getting a daily dose of God's Word, it's time to change. It's time that you begin to dedicate yourself in knowing and growing in God's Word. There is no other way to live. There's no other way to protect yourself while you live in this world. Because to be in this world and not of the world is to be directed by God's Word with the help of the Holy Spirit. So let's return to the book of Exodus. We're in chapter 29. It's the end of the chapter, and we're learning some amazing truths. Now remember, God is speaking to Moses up on the mountain, and these are things that God will do. Chapter 29, verse 42 through 46. Let me read those. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and I may dwell among them, and I am the Lord their God. Now we learn that there's this continual burnt offering. And we discover that at the door of the tabernacle, God will speak. This is amazing. God condescends, comes down to his people. When the tabernacle is built, he will be there. He'll be tabernacling among men. And the tabernacle was at the center of the camp. So anyone in Israel could open their tent, look, and see that God's presence are there. That is amazing. God is also tabernacled when Christ came. He walked among Israel. He was with Israel. And now God has tabernacled among us through his Spirit, making our bodies themselves a tabernacle. What an incredible truth. And you should take joy over this truth. Now in Exodus 25:22, it reads, "And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat." Remember, the mercy seat was in the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. And the mercy seat was on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And we know from other scriptures that God would reveal himself in kind of a spirit way above this mercy seat and speak. And it says, "From between the two cherubim, which are on the Ark of the Testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the throne of Israel." Wow, God among his people. Now, God meets the priests and the people of Israel, and the tabernacle will be sanctified by God's glory. Now, look what God consecrates. He sets apart the tabernacle of meeting, the altar. He sets apart Aaron the high priest and Aaron's sons. And then God dwells among the throne of Israel. Now, even though God is, let's say, closer in physical proximity to the high priest and then next to the sons, he's still in proximity to his people. Don't lose sight of that. Now, in the New Testament church, there is no distinction. All true born-again believers who have the Holy Spirit are all in the same way, have the same proximity to God. That's amazing. And we should not see anyone with a greater distinction than another from this perspective. Now, it's true that there is leadership responsibilities. You have the elders who rule, you have the deacons who serve, and you have the people. Now, that's from a leadership standpoint. But no one should be elevated more than another in the sense of their relationship to God. There is a hierarchy of leadership because that's necessary for an organization to function. There's a head, which is ultimately Christ, and then the elders submit to that head, and they rule as humble under-shepherds, leading with God's word and prayer, and then the deacons assist that in serving and meeting the practical needs of the church, but everyone is serving one another. So I want to distinguish leadership distinctions from relational distinctions. We are all equal before God, and no one should be elevated in that respect. Now, it's true that the scriptures talk about double honor to those who minister in the word, but again, that's just showing appreciation for the type of service that's being done and the great responsibility it can be for leadership. But I keep coming back to this, not elevating one another in our relational way, because we know in other religions and in other so-called Christian environments, sometimes the leader is set apart as if they're someone special spiritually. We got to be careful. We are all equal before the Lord, and we can appreciate the difference in gifts, but we don't elevate someone more than another. Let me be transparent here. I'm an ex-Catholic, and in the Catholic Church, they elevate the priesthood above the people, calling them father, which the scripture says no one should call anyone father because there's only one father. That's the kind of spiritual distinction that shouldn't be. Just because someone is a leader doesn't mean that somehow they're more spiritually closer to God or not. Sometimes you can have people in the pew that are way more spiritual and closer to God because of their love and service to God than a leader. So let's make sure each of us are cultivating the closest possible relationship we can with our Savior and our Father in heaven. That's what matters. It's not so much about position of authority, rather position in our sanctification. That's what matters. How are each of us humbling ourselves in service to one another? Because that is how the kingdom is set up. Those who serve God the most, humble themselves the most, are the greatest in the kingdom. Christ said that on the Sermon on the Mount and in many other places in scriptures. All right, let's come back to the Israelites. They're going to know that God is Lord, and God brought them up out of the land of Egypt by his presence. Exodus 6:7 prophesies this, promise this. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. This promise is now about to be fulfilled. The fulfillment of Exodus 8:1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh, say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. And we are about to see this. The future, though, is even more significant. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from heaven. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for these former things have passed away. So here we are in the book of Exodus, and God is about to tabernacle with men. But then we read in Revelation that God will tabernacle with men. So what's the difference? Oh, brothers and sisters, there's a world of a difference. When we're in Exodus, we're seeing the shadow. God's among a physical tent. He's among a simple people. He gets close. But in the book of Revelation, it all changes. In fact, there's other passages that describe that God is the temple and we are in him. And that we are changed. We can no longer die. We can no longer sin. We have glorified bodies. This is an intimate fellowship unlike anything before, and it can't be corrupted. It's eternal. It is our future home. So brothers and sisters, when we read in the scriptures, God is going to tabernacle among us. When we read that in Exodus, when we see that in the incarnation of Christ, when we see that in Pentecost with the Spirit dwelling in us, when we see that in the millennial kingdom, all of those still fall short of the final promise and fulfillment of that Revelation passage. That, my friends, is our future glory. And I'm telling you, I can't wait for that day. It can't come soon enough. And if you're not excited for that, then examine your heart, because you may be looking more to things in this world that will all burn and perish than being with your Creator. We were made for this. We were destined for this. This is what fulfillment is all about. And as much as we enjoy the pleasures of this life, and there are good godly pleasures in this life, they are eclipsed by the great pleasure of being with God in spirit, with the right mind of Christ, with a body that will not stumble and be corrupted and fall short. And we will be with other believers and will not sin against one another. We will be in a state of bliss and glory and intimacy and love and fellowship unlike anything we have experienced in this life. So, when you see God tabernacling among men, remember, it's a shadow of things to come. Wow. That's Exodus chapter 29. Do you see what God is doing? He's painting these pictures, these amazing promises. But he also reveals that sin must be dealt with in order for fellowship. And these sacrifices all point to the great sacrifice of Christ and the great length that Jesus had to go in order to satisfy God's wrath, to make atonement for real sin, and to bring us, his enemies, to him through these sacrifices, that our sin was atoned for and that we can have true fellowship with our Creator. Well, this brings us to chapter 30. And we're going to look a little bit closer at these priests. We've just learned how the atonement was done for their sin with the first ram. We saw the second ram consecrate them. We then saw the 7 days of consecration. And now we're coming to the 5 activities of the priests. We're going to look at the altar of incense and the incense offering. We're going to look at the ransom money for maintaining the tabernacle. We're going to learn about the bronze laver for washing the priests, for performing their holy duties. We're going to look at the holy anointing oil for preparing the tabernacle and the incense and its preparation. These are 5 activities of the priest. So let's begin. It's a little bit longer passage, but let's read chapter 30 of Exodus, verses 1 through 10. Now you shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit, which is about 1.5 feet, shall be its length, and a cubit its width. It shall be square. And 2 cubits, which is about 3 feet, shall be its height. Its horn shall be of 1 piece with it, and you shall overlay its top, its side all around, and its horn with pure gold. And you shall make for it molding of gold all around. 2 gold rings you shall make for it, under the molding on both its sides. You shall place them on its 2 sides, and they will be holders for the poles with which to bear it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning, where he tends the lamps. And he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. And Aaron shall make atonement upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. We are out of time, but what a great way to introduce this passage. So, return to us next time. We'll learn about the 5 activities of the priest.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.